you know this by now, there is a right way and a wrong way to learn God's word. The right way, the Bible says, is line upon line, precept upon precepts. So no matter how far we get in our teaching, at times we're going to come right back around to that very first step, and then we're going to see things hopefully a little differently and then continue to progress. That's how we learn the word of God. That's how we are changed by the very word of God. And so we touched on this Romans chapter 7, and I just want to go back to it for just a little bit. And I want to approach it from a different place. Before we get into Romans 7, I want to read this in Colossians 1:27. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says, the mystery among the Gentiles is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory is Christ in you. The hope of glory is Christ in you. I want you to think about what that means, beloved, because if we're going to get to this place of this transformed mind, we're ever going to arrive at this place of this abundant life that God has promised us, has assured us, move into all the power that is ours because of our newfound relationship with Christ, we have to understand when the scripture says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. See, that has a deeper meaning. And see, if you really understand that, when you quote that, there's power in that. Because the reality is Christ may be in you, but Christ might not be the fullness in you. See, because you have to be built up. Christ has to be formed in you. Are you with me? That's the hope of glory, that Christ would be formed in you. Why? Because Christ now is the manifestation. He is the revelation of God himself. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So he is the hope of glory in us. So now let's go to Romans chapter 7, and we want to talk about how Christ is built up in us. Right? There's some things that we have to do in advance. So I want to begin in verse number 22. In verse number 22, it talks this way. He says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. It says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So this word delight here, beloved, it means to rejoice with oneself. It means to rejoice. Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 22. It means to rejoice inwardly with oneself. He says, I have a joy. And he says, but this joy is an inward joy. It's an inward joy. And he says, and I rejoice. It's an inward joy. It's a joy all my own. It's a joy that the world didn't give to me, and the world can't take it away. Why? Because it is an inward joy. And so he says, this joy cometh because there is a delight in the law of God. Well, what is the law of God? It's the doctrine of God. It's God's principles for how we are to live the abundant life. It's the word of God. It's the gospel of Christ. It's God's plan for your life. He says, I delight in God's plan for my life. I've read the word of God. I've heard the gospel of Christ. I believe God. I trust God. I trust Christ as Lord of my life. And he said, and I delight in the promises of God. I delight in the word of God. I delight in the will of God. I delight in the doctrine of God. I accept the principles that God has given me for how I am to live an abundant life. And he says, because I have, he said, I don't know about you, but I have a joy on the inside. He says it's an inward joy. He said, because I follow after now this doctrine after the inward man. The inward man here is the soul. It's the soul. He's talking about the soul. We're talking about the place of the conscience. And whenever we talk about the place of the conscience, what are we talking about? We're talking about the place of your understanding, the place of your mind. So what is he saying? He said, I know the word of God, and I delight in the word of God. It brings me great joy in the place of my mind. So with my inward man, he says, I go after and I pursue the way of God so that I can have the promises of God, the power of God, and have those principles that are contained in his word working in my life. Right? But it's always that's always the thing that gets us. But as always, it's, see, beloved, nobody comes to God with the intention of remaining the same way they were when they came to God. Nobody comes with that intention. Everybody comes to God looking for something. And the Word of God tells us that Christ is that thing you've been looking for. Christ said, all the promises of God are in him, yes and amen. All the power that God has given us is in him. He was raised up with all power. The reason why we are righteous and we are included even in the body of Christ is because he died for you. He was buried and he got up on the third. He did it all for you. It's all because of Christ. But the Bible says, even when we pray in the name of Jesus. Why? Because God has established him as the head of the church, has given him all power, and has given him charge over everything concerning the church. So Christ now has charge over all those things concerning you. And so when we pray God's will in the name of Jesus. Why? Because Jesus has been given charge over you. And so when we say, God, you said, in the name of Jesus, God has to respond to that. Why? Because Jesus has been given charge. You with me? So it's like if I had an account down at Walmart and somebody in here told me they needed something from Walmart, and I've already given them instructions that people from my church come down there and tell you I sent them, give them what they want. It's the same way. Christ sits at the right hand of the Father interceding for you. He is the great head of the church. And so when people come to Christ, there is an expectation that we're going to benefit in some way, that our life is going to be changed in some way. And we desire for that change. But it's always the but. It's always the but that gets you. But, see, I want to do right. But I want to know and understand the word of God, but I want to commit myself to diligently seeking after the righteousness of Christ, but I want to be a better person, a better Christian, a better mother, a better father, a better husband, a better wife. I want to be better, but watch what he says here in the scripture. He says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now watch this, beloved, because he said, I see another law. There's the law of God. Which he pursues after the soul, the inner man. But he says, I see another law in my members. And he said, in this law now, he said, this law is warring against the law of my mind. And watch this, beloved, because now this word warring, it actually means a declared, outright, hostile conflict. That's what it means. It means a declared, outright, hostile conflict. And see, you have to first acknowledge that the war is going on. See, many of us won't even acknowledge that the war is going on. But the war is going on. It's a declared, outright, hostile conflict. That's why Christ said, he said, I come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. But what does he say the enemy comes to do? He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Make no mistake about it, beloved. He's declared outright hostile conflict against you. So the moment you decide, I want all of the things that are offered to me, promised to me in the Word of God by my relationship with Jesus Christ, the enemy declares in that moment outright hostile conflict against you. But the reality is if we never get to that place where we have a spiritual understanding, we don't understand that there is a war going on. And many of us never engage in that war because we come and we have expectation, and I want the promises of God, but. And so if I don't go any further than that, I never even acknowledge the war is going on. So he said, there's a law in my members, and it's warring against the law in my mind. The law of my mind. What's the law of his mind? He said, the law of my mind is the law of God. That's what I get joy from, the Word of God, the doctrine of Jesus Christ. So that's what I get joy from. He said, but this other law in my members is warring against me. And then watch what else. He said, not only is it warring against me, but it's bringing me into captivity to the law of sin in my members. Now watch what this means, beloved, because when we look at this word captivity, we oftentimes think possession. Possession. That's one of the biggest lies that have been promoted. Because if you are a child of God, the enemy can't possess you. He can't possess you. You're a child of God. When you got saved, he sealed you with the Holy Spirit of promise. The enemy can't possess you. But what he can do is he can continue to attack you in the place of your mind. That's where the but comes in. I want to do this, but. I'd like to have this, but. I'd like to be stronger, but. That's where the but comes in. Why? Because, and it comes in, and the but exists because he's warring against you. Well, number one, many of us never even acknowledge the war is going on. So if I want to acknowledge the war is going on, I don't fight. And so if I don't fight and I'm in a war, I'm losing. So he says, and he's bringing us into captivity. Watch what the word captivity means. This word captivity, beloved, it means to lead away captive, to capture one's mind, right? Into captivity. But now watch this. It does not mean that I'm a prisoner. It does not mean that I'm locked down. Watch a further definition. It means kept within bounds, confined. Held under control of another, but having the look of independence. So I'm captive. I'm held captive, but it looks like I'm free. And so I have the freedom to move, but the captivity has set bounds. So my movement is restricted, but it looks like I'm independent. But because I'm held captive in my mind to the law of sin in my members, I move, I walk, I talk, I go to church, I sing hallelujah, I shout hallelujah. I do all of those things, but I'm in captivity. And it looks like I'm free, but if you go there are bounds. And so you ever been in a situation where you're okay? Every time I start doing okay, every time it looks like I'm headed in the right direction, every time it looks like I'm about to get out of this place, something happens. You know why? Because you're held captive. And when you get right here, there's a it's there because they've set the bounds. Yeah? Everybody, here's one in the church. We're going to the next level. No, you're not, because there's a glass ceiling there. You're not going anywhere. You want to go. You want to be. You want to do. But. And so, beloved, the first thing that we have to recognize is there is a war. There is a conflict declared. And because of that, even if you don't acknowledge that the war is going on, it might look like you're free. It might look like you have independence, but you're actually held captive. Let me give you one more illustration before we move on. You got to understand this. Remember when God sent the people of it, the people of Israel into captivity in Babylon? And again, the word is captivity. All right? But while they were in captivity in Babylon, God told them, he says, prophets are going to come and they're going to be prophesying. Because they're going to come and what are they going to tell you? They're going to tell you, God's getting ready to bring you out. Don't that sound familiar? God getting ready to bring you out. God getting ready to bring you out. He getting ready to bring you out and he getting ready to take you to the next level. He getting ready to raise you up. He getting ready to do this. Things might look hard right now, but give me a little bit more of your money and God getting ready to bring you out of here. But what did God tell him? God said, you're in captivity, but he said, you're going to be there for 70 years. So he says, be free. He said, plant your crops, raise your families, build your houses, have your sons and daughter married. And he said, and at the end of 70 years, I'm going to bring you out. So what is God saying? He's saying the same thing now. He said, don't trust. That's why the Bible says we live by faith and not by sight. He said, don't trust what you see. Trust what you know. See, that's trust what you know. See, because if God said, you're coming out tomorrow, I don't care what anybody else says. God told me I'm coming out tomorrow. So when I go to bed tonight, I'm packing my bag and I'm getting up in the morning expecting to move out of this place. Because God said. So he said, because when God gives you a word, when God declares, there's nothing that the enemy can do against that which God has declared. So God says, if I've given you my word, you delight in my word, you grow in my word, you get strong in my word. He said, just trust in my word. Don't worry about all of those extra things. Don't worry about what it looks like. Because I'm going to bring you out when I bring you out. And when I get ready to bring you out, the boundaries that they've set up, they cannot hold you. Because I open doors, no man can close. I close doors, no man can open. With me? Okay. So now, he looks at his situation here. He says, as this law that is in my members, in my physical members, in my limbs, in my hands, in my feet, in my body. He said, and I can see it. I can see it. So now watch it. Because the action, that's why the Bible said, you can always judge them by their fruit. Why? So now, if it's the law of sin in your members that is controlling things, I'm going to be able to see a physical manifestation. Right? So I'm going to be able to see. I can see my behavior. I can see. And I don't want to do that. But I do it anyway. Because there's a war going on. And because I never got into the fight, I'm always losing. And I don't understand why I'm always losing. I don't understand why I get so far and it's like, okay, well, now everything just, I'm always losing. Because you're not fighting. You're not fighting. Okay? So he says here, he says, I need help. So he declares in verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Okay? So he says, in my humanness, I still have some things I need to be delivered from. In my humanness. And that's okay. Because that's why you came to Christ in the first place. Because we're all human. And we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why you came in the first place. So he declares, he said, I delight after the word of God. I want to do that. But I see there's another law in my members that's working against me, and I tend to do those things which I feel like doing rather than the things I need to do, and I always end up in a bad place. But he says, I need help. See, sometimes the only thing that you need to do to bring about this breakthrough, this deliverance in your life, is just stop, hit the brakes, and say, Lord, I need help. But sometimes we have not because we ask not. And we ask and receive not because we ask amiss. Sometimes all that's needed is for you to stop and say, Lord, I need help. I need help. And I want you to help me. So he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this sin? Now watch what he said, beloved. He said, I need deliverance from the body of this sin. Okay. So he says, I need to be delivered from the body of this sin. Okay. I need to be delivered. All right? So now watch what he said. He said, the body of this sin. Now, let's talk about this deliverance. Deliverance means to draw to oneself, to rescue. So he says, who's going to deliver me? Who's going to rescue me from the body of this sin? All right? So let's talk about the body. Romans chapter 8, verse number 10. Let's talk about the body. Okay? The body of this sin. Now, Romans chapter 8, he says it this way. He says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. So he says, essentially, if you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, your body is dead. The body is dead. Why? Because it's been condemned because of the sin. The body. Now, but wait a minute now. Make sure you know it. The body, the limbs, the flesh is dead. That's what the minister preached about on Sunday. It says in Galatians 2 and 20, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The body is dead. And it's the spirit of Christ on the inside of you that gives it life, that animates that body. Okay? But now watch this. You still attached to it. You're still attached to the body. You can't be separated from it now. You're going to be. But now you cannot be separated from it. Why? Because you need the body to exist in this earthly realm. But the Bible says that one day it's going to be buried corruptible. And why is it going to be buried corruptible? I'm saved. Yeah, but your body's not. So your body is still perishing. It's corruptible. And it will be buried corruptible. Then you'll be raised up incorruptible. But right now, in this world, once you receive Christ, the body is dead. It's still moving, right? But the body is dead. And so because the body has life, there has to be some way for you to control the body. Otherwise, the body will just do what it wants to do. Why? Because it has life in it, but it's not receiving direction from the source. What it's doing is it's sensual. It's sensual. And so the body does what it feels. So if the body gets hungry, the body wants to eat. If the body wants to touch, the body touches. Okay? So he says, but the body is dead if Jesus resides on the inside. All right? But the spirit is life. Okay? So he said, I need to be delivered from the body. So I can't be physically delivered from the body. How am I delivered from the body? I'm delivered from the body in the place of my mind. That's how you can be in captivity but be free. You can be locked up in jail and be free. You can be locked in a bad situation at home and be free. You can be yoked with a room full of sinners and be free. You could be in a room full of darkness and be free. Be the only light shining up, but be free. If you can learn how to be free in your mind. So he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body, the body of this death? And then, now watch what he says. He gives us a clue. He gives us a clue to the answer. He says, I thank God for Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now watch John chapter 12, verse number 32. Christ says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Now this word deliver means to draw to oneself. To draw to oneself, to rescue. So Christ says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw them to me. You with me? Because I'm trying to teach you how to get set free. I'm trying to teach you true deliverance. He said, I'll draw them unto me. Now watch what the word draw here means. The word draw here means to drag. To drag. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, he said, I'll drag them unto me. I'll carry them unto me. I'll do whatever's necessary to get them out. Why? Because as they've accepted me as their Lord and Savior, now I have charge over them. God has placed them in my hand. And I have not lost not even one save the son of perdition. But scripture said, I'm fully persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. But you have to commit it to him. Once you committed to him, he got you. He got you. And so now watch this. Oh, watch that. There's further here in this word. He said to drag, to lead, and to impale. This is how he draws them unto him. He drags, he leads, he impales. The one I'm interested in here is impale. Watch what the word impale means. Impale now, it means to cause someone to feel a strong need or desire to do something. But it means now to impale them from the inside. He said, I'm going to draw them from the inside. Are you with me? It said, I'm going to draw them from the inside. So now, if I can get my word and my spirit on the inside, he said, I'll draw them unto me from the inside. He said, because what I'll do is I'll give them a strong desire to come to me on the inside. And so he said, and because of this strong desire, he says, that won't have to be a preacher to tell them you need to come to Bible study and you need to study to show yourself approved. You need to change the way you live your life. Well, that won't have to be a preacher. Hey, he'll tell them, but he's not going to be the force behind them. You don't have to push him. You don't have to force him. No. If the word of God is in them, if Jesus Christ is in them, he is drawing them, he's leading them, he's impelling them, and he's doing it all from the inside. And so when you hear somebody say, I don't know what it was, but something was just moving me. It's them on the inside. I don't know what it was, but something just happened. I just had to go to Bible study. It's him on the inside, dragging you, pulling you, leading you. Well, scripture says it's God that gives us both to will and to do. You want to know why you're inclined to do this? Because he gave you the will. He gave you the inclination. He gave you a strong desire on the inside. And if he gives you the will, he'll give you the power to do. So he says, I'm going to draw you unto me. Now watch what happens. Here is the members. Here is the soul. Here is the spirit. Spirit of what? The spirit of Christ. Okay? So now, before you received Christ, it was just the soul and the members. And the members now reign. Why? Because sin was in the members. And the Bible says that's why God gave them the law. And the law actually awakened sin in the members. Why? Because the members didn't know that it was sin until the law said that's sin. It's just like with a little kid. You tell them don't go in the cookie jar, that's where they're going. And then when you come in the room and cookie crumbs all over their mouth, I didn't do it. See, but when you're 2-3 years old, that's innocent. But when you're 30 and breaking into the convenience store to get your cookies, you're going to do 10 to 20. So he said, but if they will get my word and delight in my word and receive me and my spirit dwells on the inside of them, he says now, I will continue to impel them, to draw them unto me from the inside. He says, so as I continue to draw them unto me, they'll grow stronger in faith. They'll grow stronger in desire. They'll grow stronger in their ability to rightly divide the word of truth. They'll grow stronger in their desire to have the word of God to be manifested in their life. And he said, what'll happen is, eventually they'll be separated from the members and be connected to the Spirit. So he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, there is a union here. And in this union, there is a separation from the body. And so I'm still in the body. But in my mind, I'm living a separate existence from the body. Because my body's crucified. You with me? That's what Paul meant when Paul said, I have to die, I have to put down my flesh daily. What does he mean? He says, I've got to separate myself from the law that is in my members because I delight after the law of my mind, which is the law of God. And I'm getting stronger in it. And guess what? The stronger I get, the less significant my body becomes. That's why the Christian is not afraid of death. Why? Because death is just a transition. My soul is transitioning from this body that serves as a house on the earth. And I'm going to get another one, another temple that's not made with hands. I'm going to get an incorruptible body. So he says, for the Christian, death is a transition. Death in itself means separation. I'm being separated from this physical body. That's what it means. It's just a transition. So he says, I can be in the earth, but not of the earth. I can be in the earth physically, but as far as the way that I live, the way that I think, the way that I act, the way that I live my life, the way that I do things, the way of my relationship with God is all determined in my mind. And I keep it separate from the things of the flesh. I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. With me? Questions? Okay, so now he says, as we get now to the end of this, so he says, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. With the mind. With the flesh, the law of sin. But with the mind, I myself. Now watch, separation has happened. Separation has happened. He said, I myself, with the mind, I serve the law of God. So now watch what this word serve means. This word serve here means affirmation. It means to say that something is true in a confident way, to testify of, to uphold, to validate. So he said, this law of God, the word of God that I have received in my inner man, He says, I validate that. I affirm that. How do I affirm that? By the way that I live my life. That's why faith without works is dead. See, if I've received the word and I really believe the word, I prove the word. I'm the proof of God's word. But scripture said, be not conformed after you've been transformed. Don't be conformed again to the way of the world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God for your life. He said there has to be a proof. Jesus says, so in the way that you live your life, you affirm the word of God. You validate the word of God. Or else you do not validate the word of God. There are a lot of people in the church who have not yet proven the word of God rules and reigns in their life. Have not yet proven it. And you can't prove it by just going to church. Yes, it just sir. Can't happen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Especially if you're only going on Sunday morning.
Lord Jesus.
Because you grow on Wednesday night.
Oh my God.
This is where you get stronger. This is where you learn how to fight. This is where you sharpen that instrument. This is where iron comes together and sharpens iron. But when you come in here on Wednesday night, you should know that you're gathered amongst warriors. And we're all coming in here to sharpen our weapons so that we can get back out there in the fight.
Yeah.
I'm not denying that it's happening. I have acknowledged that the war is going on. But what I've declared is victory is mine. Yeah. So now he says, I validate the word of God. One last scripture and then we're going to end here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16 through 18. So, he says, now I'm stronger. So he declares here, he says, for which cause we faint not. We faint not. And the word faint here means to be weak or to fail in the heart, in the place of your mind. So he says, for which cause we faint not. We don't fail in the place of our mind. He said, we faint not. He said, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Right? Though the outward man perish. Again, further evidence that the outward, that the body is dead. Why? What did God say in the Garden of Eden? He said, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. In the day that they ate, their physical body began to perish. It's just like you go to the market. You buy bananas. They're perishable items. You get them home. They might be yellow when you get them home. The next morning, there might be a few brown spots on them. You leave them there on the counter for 4 or 5 days, then there's more brown spots. Then they get mushy. Then they get black. Now they're dead. So, the scripture says, your body is perishing. So, this is how much attention we need to give to our bodies. That's why he said, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. He said, don't worry about any of those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Don't worry about that. He said, when the enemy comes against you, he said, don't worry about the person who can only hurt your body. Worry about the person who can hurt your soul. I ain't worried about what you going to do for me. If I'm in the body, I'm with the Lord. If I'm absent from the body, I'm with the Lord. No matter what, you can't do nothing to me. Because if I'm here, I'm with him. And if you harm this body and cause fatal harm to this body, I'm going to transition to be, what can you do to me? Can't do anything to me. It's like having a battle with a kamikaze pilot. Somebody who's already determined, I'm going to give up my life. I'm going to die. How can you fight that person? They've already determined, I'm going to give up my life to take your life. You can't fight that person. So he says, for this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man is perishing. Every single day, he's perishing. Every day. Every day that you live, you're getting closer to the grave. The body. But the soul is being enriched. The soul is being increased. The soul is being renewed day by day. This word renewed actually means again new. Again new. Watch this. That's why the scripture says, you know, I hear people all the time, they put them back on the potter's wheel. Put them on the potter's wheel, make them again another vessel. No, the scripture actually says he never takes you off the potter's wheel. He keeps them in his, keeps the vessel in his hands on the potter's wheel. So now, when something happens with the vessel becomes marred, the vessel becomes defective. He just simply works out everything on the wheel and makes it again another vessel. So in a sense, the scripture says here, every day you're getting stronger. Your soul is getting stronger. It's being renewed day by day. Even though your physical body is perishing, your soul, man, is being renewed day by day. Every day there should be a different version of you. Every day. And each version is better than the last version. Every day. So if you're the same version of you that you were 2 years ago, as it relates to your relationship with Christ, something's happened along the way. What's happened is you've been held captive. You're in captivity, but you have not yet figured out that there are boundaries there. See? And that's what happens when we come into the church and not grow, not look to grow, but look to be church. We become church, and we're stuck now in these boundaries. We're stuck. We're stuck. That's what religion will do for you. Religion sets up boundaries. Religion welcomes you in and says, okay, this is the God that we serve. And oh, God, he died for you. And he got up on the third day. He got up. And all the promises of God are in Jesus Christ. Yay and amen. And you need to serve God. But you need to take off all that makeup. Your skirt just a little too short. You got to wear your hair different. You got to do all these things. And that's what happened when the church was born. And the Judaizers came back into the church and said, oh, no, don't get too happy about this Jesus thing, because you still got to obey the law. You still got to do this. You still got to do that. No, that's not what Christ is about. Christ is about what you can do, not what you can't do. Because he's already forgiven all of your sins. So he says, we're renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Last scripture, promise. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Familiar scripture. Now faith. Before I learned how to fight, I relied on other things. But now, faith. Before I knew even the war was going on, I didn't even get in the fight. But now, faith. Before I was saved, I lived life a certain way. But now, faith. He says here, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The word substance means that which holds up. So everything that I hope for, every expectation I have from God, it is in my faith. It is my faith. It is my believing that it shall come to pass. And how can I believe that? Well, first I trust him. Because if I don't trust him, I can't trust his word. So first I trust him, so then I trust his word. So if I trust his word, I trust him, well, he tells me I'm not a man that I should lie. Not the son of man that I should repent. He said, I'm a faithful God. I'm a long-suffering God. I'm a God of love. So if God told me a lie, he would cease to be God. Why is it my word that goes forth, it shall not return void. So now, faith, my believing and trusting him, and my believing and trusting his word, is the substance of every expectation I have of God. I can think of no, I don't have to give any other reason except I believe. I don't care what you believe. I believe. Why do you believe? I believe. But why do you believe? Something on the inside of me keeps giving me this strong desire. And no matter how hard I try to refuse it or reject it, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. It won't let me go back to that old life. And here's the second thing. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Now watch this, beloved. Watch what he says. He says now, he said, while we look not at the things which are seen. I'm not looking at the things which are seen. Why? I don't have any expectation for the things that are seen. And why would a man hope for the things which he can see? Okay? I'm not looking at the things which are seen. Yeah? I'm not hoping for things which have already been manifested. I can see them right now. Yeah? But I'm certainly not looking at my situation and validating my situation, yeah, based on what I see. But I handle my situation, I deal with it based upon what I know. So I see the enemy coming against me, but I know God said that he hears the cries of the righteous. So the righteous cry out, and he hears and he delivers them. That's what the scripture says. I believe that. So, but he said, faith is the evidence of things not seen. The word not seen here is not, it does not mean that I can't see it. What it actually means is I can't see it yet. That's what it means. He said, so we look not at the things which can be seen, because those things are temporal. But we look at the things that are not seen, because those things are everlasting. Those things are promised in the word of God. They're everlasting. He said, so if I don't have it yet, he said, my faith allows me to wait because it's coming. I believe it's coming. So I might not have my riches yet. I might not have all power yet. I might not be completely free yet. I might not have the right house, the right husband, the right car, the right mindset yet. But my faith allows me to wait on it. For the scripture says, tribulations work of patience. They ignite patience. Trials and tribulation and trouble brings forth opportunity for you to exercise patience. Why? Because I'm not looking at what I see. Because no matter what I see with my eyes, my God is bigger than that. And so my faith allows me to wait on the thing I can't see. My mountain is right there, but my victory is on the other side. I can only see the mountain, but God can see around the mountain. Are y'all with me in here? I'm about to get excited. Yes. 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 Glory. Yes. My God. Questions. We're going to stop right there. We're going to stop right there. Thank you, Lord. Are we coming back? Questions about the lesson.